Good morning and welcome to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Carrie Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, WHTC Money Matters.
Hey, good morning, Holland Thielen. This is Carrie Cooley.
And good morning. This is Jack Godfrey. Today's show is Retirement Myths Uncovered. Good show.
Excellent show coming up here. The snow is outside. People are sitting inside. So call 395-1450. And we should let them know about our upcoming workshop here.
Yeah, this is our ninth annual workshop. It's called Health, Wealth, and Women, The Power of a Plan. It's going to be March the 6th. It's going to be at the Macatawa Legends Golf Course. It's going to start at 5:30 for dinner, refreshments. And then we're going to be on from 6 to 8:30. Long workshop, but we have lots of speakers. We have Mary Jo Borman stopping in. We have Stacey Kampheis. It's a great show. It's our ninth annual. It always sells out. Sells out meaning you don't have to pay, but it's always full. Capacity is around
full.
80 people. So if you want to come, call us 616-931-1223, extension 4.
And our great guest speaker is Lisa Kozier, and she is a health and nutrition expert, and she's going to be talking about ways to freshen up your food routine and avoid some of the boredom of your meals. So I think she's excellent. She's been on Fox 17 News and is an advocate of Weight Watchers. So great guest speaker coming in. So
yeah, and we have some people come every year. And
yes,
they bring a different friend every year. They reserve a whole table. They come every year. They have fun. And they go, you need to know this kind of stuff. So it's a good thing. So call our office, 616-931-1223, extension 4. You can call today, leave Janet your number, she'll call you back, give you the particulars.
Absolutely. Hey, we have a great show coming up here, and a little market recap for the week. Market was up, down, and all around this week, wasn't it, Jack?
Well, numbers yesterday came out, unemployment numbers were, or employment numbers, not unemployment. And unemployment actually went down below 7%. We think that's because less people are looking for jobs. And the numbers employed actually weren't as good as they thought for, but we think it's probably maybe part of the snow. We don't know.
But they were in line pretty close to what they expected.
Yeah, somewhat. They always expect 180 to 200,000 new jobs. I think it was under 180 by about, who knows, 15, 16,000, which is not many when you're looking at 300 million people.
Yep.
But it was under. So, earnings still look good. So it was a real positive market yesterday. It's still negative year to date by 4 to 5 to 6%, and I'm happy with 6% for the year positive, and small cap value is down almost 7%.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big number.
Well, and I think the big driver here the last 2 weeks really has been some of the emerging market countries, especially what's been in the news is Turkey, Argentina, and I can't think of the other third country that's been affecting that here lately, but those three emerging market countries, the value of their currency, the devaluation of their currency, right, has in China, has really affected what's happening here in the U.S. It truly used to be China was separate, Europe was separate, America was separate. It's a global market. We affect each other, and that's what's driving some of the quick downturns here, but this past week we had a great workshop that we went to talking about a market recap from last year and looking at a market recap or kind of what to expect for this year. And they really felt like what you said, Jack, companies are at fair values. They're not overvalued. And there's still a lot of good areas to be investing in at this time.
Yeah, for those people last year want to know why we had them in bonds, bonds are up 3.4. Year to date, that's high yield bonds are up 3.4. Other alternatives income have held steady. So when the S&P for the year to date's down 5%, bonds right now, I guess some of the bonds that we specialize in, some of the higher yielding, are up 3% or above 3%. So that's a swing of 8%. So, you know, for those people out there, you know, wanting to know why do we have some bonds? Because now there's a swing of 8%, down -5 to up +3. That's a lot of money.
It is. And they understand why you need to have a portion of your money in bonds.
Not everybody does.
That's true.
When the market was on fire last year, they didn't want to be there. Now they want to be there.
Yeah.
You don't know you want to be there until you need to be there.
Yep.
And
yep.
Now you need to be in bonds to a certain extent. Not everything, no.
Absolutely. Hey, some fun facts about the market. We always enjoy sharing these. And when we talk about worse than most, let's talk about the S&P 500. It was down 3.5% total in the month of January, okay? So this month, the market was down 3.5%, the S&P 500. January's performance was worse than 87% of the last 300 months. So, but here's what's really interesting. The S&P 500 consists of 500 stocks, and it is a weighted index of across the market. So, yeah, it's down, but it's only the worst ones of last 300 months.
Okay. Here it is. No thanks. Only 1 in 9 U.S. workers belong to a union. That's 11.3%, the lowest percentage nationwide since 1940. Participation is 7% in the private sector and 35% in the public sector. So indicates a lot of government issues there in terms of public sectors, public schools, public county buildings. So that's interesting. So 7% in the private sector for 1 out of 9 people, 35% public sector belong to unions, and we're at the lowest level since 1940.
Very interesting. Hey, stocks and bonds. In the last 25 years, the S&P 500 has produced a total return of 20% or +20% in 10 different years. Over the same period, long-term U.S. treasuries have produced a total return of at least 20% in 4 different years.
Here's one that we talk about all the time, Social Security. If you can wait from 62 to 70, that's a long time. It really depends on you. But if you can wait, you're going to get $77 more per month if you can hold off until 70. It's a big number. What happens if you die early? Well, what happens if you do? You know, it's always a strategy. You know, somebody was just here in the studio asking about strategy, and it's everybody's unique. I know that I'm not going to take it till 70. That's the plan. That's what it is today. But I'm a long ways off. You're getting closer.
I'm getting closer.
You're in your 50s now.
Yeah. I'm catching up with you, Jack. Yeah. You're stopped, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super prices. Hey, we just got done with the Super Bowl. The most expensive Super Bowl ticket, face value price, not the price paid through a ticket broker for Super Bowl number 1 in Los Angeles in 1967 was $12. Wow. Hey, and I could have gone because I would have been 4 years old, but I didn't.
Now, I hate to say that, but I was in high school then.
You're in high school, okay. So that means you're a little bit older.
I could have went. I could have went to that. $12, but you have to put that, you know, I actually started working in 1966 at a clothing store making 90 cents an hour.
You would have had to work over 12 hours.
So now if you go back and say, you know, 90 cents an hour, you know, how does that equate for minimum wage today being near $8? So 8 times, that still doesn't stack up. 12 times 8, 96, still doesn't. The ticket prices have went up pretty doggone steep.
Yeah, because ticket prices for the last Super Bowl, $2,500. And the increase in Super Bowl ticket prices from 67 to 2014 from 12 to 2,500 is equal to 12% compounded per year in 47 years.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
Yes.
Chris says we're going to take a break. Hey, you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Jack Gottfried.
And Kerry Cooley. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, listeners. You listen to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Gottfried. Hey, today our show is Retirement Myths Uncovered. We'll be getting that in the second segment of our show, third segment of the show. More by the numbers. This is one that's gonna could affect us here coming up shortly. Well, it always does affect us, is the fact that our standing debt, as at the end of January, was a mere $17.249 trillion, up from $17.07 trillion. Back in October, that was the debt ceiling was increased, and Congress has no more debt ceiling as of 2.7. So we're going to have to increase the debt ceiling as of 2.7, not 2.7, actually in a couple of weeks. So we're going to have to, according to the new Treasury, we're going to have to make sure this gets done by the 27th of February, or we will not be able to pay anybody. So the 27th.
There goes.
That is the date.
Plan on a little market volatility, huh?
Well, we could, but you know, that's the new Treasury Secretary.
Okay. How about, you know, we talked about those Super Bowl ticket prices during that, then they went up 12% compounded per year. The market during that same period of time, the S&P 500 gained 10.2% return. Return on the tickets was better.
You know, our president was in town meaning East Lansing yesterday, passed the Farm Bill, which was, you know, what's really sad is there was a bunch of Republicans invited. They didn't show up. That's sad. Why didn't they want to show up? Like, what are they boycotting? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it was a bipartisan bill, and they got through.
Well, but they should have been there. My opinion, you know, they're always griping, he doesn't show up, he doesn't call. Well, why aren't you surrounding him when he's signing this bill? My opinion. That's what he should have done. That's what they should have done. And we have to call out our local Bill Heising on that one.
47.8% of individual income tax returns filed in the U.S. in the year 2011 reported less than $30,000 of adjusted gross income.
That's amazing.
Could you live on that?
I was still saying my first job out of college, it was $9,000 and a company car. I thought, how could you ever spend $9,000 on a company car? $30,000 adjusted gross? No. No. No, I mean, but yet you always need to put things in perspective.
You do.
You know, what's a perspective? You know, for some people, $30,000 is a lot of money because you can live on $30,000. You can live on $30,000. It just depends on your perspective. Last one here for me is... I was going to talk more about the legislation which has passed, the that farm legislation, which it has to do, the farm legislation has to do with food stamps. It's like 401ks happens to do with the Department of Labor. Why are those there? Anyway, the farm bill that was passed yesterday is supposed to cut somewhere over $40 billion out of food stamps over the next 10 years.
It's a huge number.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's my last one. Rate down, liability up. If all state and local governments were to recast their pension plans, or their pension liabilities, I should say, using a 5.5% discount rate, the unfunded accrued liabilities of those public sector service plans nationwide would nearly triple from $766 billion to $2.2
trillion. Hmm.
Ouch.
Big numbers. Okay,
yeah.
Let's go to questions. People can write in questions. They could call us. You could call us today, 395-1450, if you have a question. We have questions every week. Carrie, here's a good one for you.
You're going to read it or you want me to read it?
No, because I'm not good with the answer. So I'm going to read it so you can get it, unless Chris wants to pipe in. Do I automatically receive Medicare benefits if I'm eligible for disability benefits?
Well, here's how it works out. You will receive Medicare after you receive disability benefits for 24 months. Okay? When you become eligible for disability benefits, we will automatically enroll. The person gets automatically enrolled in Medicare. And then they start counting the 24 months from the month you were entitled to receive disability, not the month when you received your first check.
You read that really good.
I did.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't know the answer.
Well, and that's the only way I knew the answer, too. So I'm admitting I read it.
So, but that's interesting for people to know.
Chris, he wants to pipe in.
Yes, go ahead.
Uh-oh.
Just to be clear, you don't automatically get signed up for Part B. So you're still going to want to make sure that if you are going to be using Medicare after you are eligible for Medicare,
right,
you're going to want to make sure you get Part A, Part B, and then go see a licensed insurance agent and talk about supplements and Part D and all that good stuff.
That was very succinctly done.
Well, thank you.
You would be promoting yourself, would you?
I would never. No, I would not do that.
No, that is, but that's, you know, really interesting because, you know, this question pertains to those people under 65, Chris. This pertains to not people 65. This is people under 65, and that's where the clarity is because a lot of people are then covered by Medicare because they are on disability.
Right.
So, but we're, you know, your answer was really good, and it only covers Part A.
Correct.
Not Part B. So people forget about that. Even when they sign up at 65 for Medicare, which they're eligible to do, they forget about that.
And there's going to be a premium. You don't get Part B for free. Part A is what we all pay for our entire lives. But Part B, there is going to be a premium with that. And then, of course, if you add something else above and beyond that, you're talking even more.
Yeah,
so.
That's right.
All right. Hey, I'll read the next question, see if you can answer, because there's not an answer you can read.
All right. That's nice.
Well, and listeners, 395-1450, lines are open, taking your calls. And the question is, I need to decide if I should take my pension with a lump sum or payments for life. How do I decide that?
You need to come to us. 123 East Main. Next question.
Okay. We'll move on.
No, it's always a strategy. I mean, it's sometimes lump sums. You know, we had people come in from Ford and GM when Prudential took over their pension plan. It was sold to Prudential. Prudential took it over. So GM paid Prudential to take this over. Some people had the opportunity to take a lump sum or take their continued payments. We had a person, Carrie, you were talking to that person, and maybe you need to review that, where a person came in and they said, you know, I picked the single option.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a chance to get away from this, the single option, which paid him 100%. And when he died, his wife got nothing. And his rollover amount was like $350,000. And he did not need his pension. So he could have now taken this, put this into an IRA, extended the benefits out over 115 years, and done an amazing thing for his family.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose not to do that.
Yeah.
You pointed out the fact that he should really roll it over. So when the decision's on the table, sometimes people do crazy stuff, even though we present them with the facts to say, this is what you need to do.
Well, and I think the deciding factor there for that person was the fact that the pension amount that he was receiving was quite a bit more than what we could take when he got our lump sum, and he started to draw income off of that, and he just didn't want to take that decrease in income.
But he didn't need the income. That's the whole thing. And his wife was cut out.
Yeah,
so
I know.
The day he died, she's cut out of the $350 now plus any pension.
And there's nothing there to pass on to the kids.
Yeah. So it really depends, but you have to understand the facts. It's this or this. Do you need the money? You don't need the money. How long are you going to live? Or do you want to pass this down to your wife, your kids, your grandchildren? That's how you decide.
Another strategy behind that is sometimes you may want to take the pension, if it makes sense, where you spend part of the pension to live off of, but you take another part of the pension income and you can buy life insurance that when you pass away replaces the pension income for your spouse.
Yep. No, that's another great strategy. So it really, again, depends on it, because we have people now that do not need the income from a lot of different sources. So they're taking that, buying some life insurance, and really multiple, you know, we do a 20 or 30 year or a whole life, whatever, if it fits, and they're able to ramp up the death benefit, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy didn't have either.
Yeah.
He didn't have either. So it's crazy stuff. Okay, last one. I'll read this. This is an easy one for you. I'm starting to save for retirement. A bit late, but wanted to start dumping as much as possible into a retirement account. How much can I put in, and which ones can I put into?
Well, this person, if they work for a company and they have a 401k, they can put into their 401k. They can contribute to a Roth and or other IRAs. And there's pros and cons to everyone. First rule of thumb is if you work for a company that has a 401k plan and they match you, so if you put in 3% and they give you 3%, you need to put money into that 401k and get the free money from the company. That's a free match of money. You're doubling your money. The next step is, once you've done that, you need to put money into the Roth IRA. You can put up to $5,500 into a Roth per year. If you're over 50, like me, you can put in an additional $1,000 for a total of $6,500 for the year. And the IRA has the same numbers, $5,500 or $6,500, depending on your age. So what's right for you depends on the circumstances behind your employment, whether you have a retirement plan at work, whether you have one there or don't have one there, and where to save.
So the what Carrie was just saying, one, get the match. That's the first bucket. Put money in until you get the match. Go back in, fill up your Roth, unless you do have a Roth with your 401k. So fill up your Roth, then back to your 403b, 457, 401k, simple, SEP, whatever. So those are kind of the rules. Match, go back, fill up the Roth, unless you have one in your retirement plan, and then, or and if you qualify for one, and then go back and fill up your 401k with $17,000, or simple could be $12,000, or it could be a 403b, or it could be a 457. Lots of areas to put money into.
Absolutely.
And some companies have deferred comp, so you can put more in.
Yeah. Yep. Well, listeners, we're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with our show, Uncovering Retirement Myths. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Kerry, I need to stray here a second from the show and just talk about a situation that happened to a family member this past 2 weeks. She had her purse stolen when she was at a fitness center. Somebody broke into her car, knocked out the side window, passenger door, or the driver's door window, stole her purse and knocked two other cars out, stole purses. So, you know, we always think that credit cards, checkbooks, Social Security cards, driver's license, you know, which ones are the most important to lose. So it took her a couple hours, but she was really diligent and had canceled all the cards and had changed, by the afternoon, had changed her bank account. 2 weeks later, she looks at her bank account. After she had changed the number, $10,000 was out of her bank account. So how'd that work out? So but they had her driver's license. So they would go up to the drive-in, couldn't quite see at the far lane, deposit a check, and want cash back. You know, I don't know my account number. I'm kind of in a hurry. Here's my driver's license. Here's who I am. Put the money in. I need some money out. $10,000 worth.
Wow.
So, story said, what's the most important thing in your wallet? Driver's license. In this particular case, driver's license allowed them to make a deposit and take money out at the same time at five different locations. Even though the bank had a security code on her account, whoever does this needs to have a passcode. They didn't ask for the passcodes at five different banking locations. So your identity is very important. We just want to remind people that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And things can happen. Yeah.
So our show today, talking about retirement myths.
Hey, a little side note here. I read in the paper here this weekend, and we've had Kevin Singer, who is financial aid person here at Hope College, has been on our show a number of times. But this Sunday, they're having Michigan College Goals Sunday. And what it is from 2 to 4 this Sunday. It's in Allegan County at the Area Technical and Education Center, and it's also here in Holland at the Davenport University Holland campus. So if you're going to college and you need to fill out your FAFSA form, whether it be for the first time, second time, the first year can be really daunting because there's a lot of stuff, it's all new. That's what this program is there, is to help you fill out the FAFSA form. And Kevin Singer is coordinating the one here in town at Davenport campus. So, you know, if you need help, go there from 2 to 4, Davenport campus here in Holland.
No, that's a great thing. You know, filling out financial aid forms for, 10, 12 years, five kids. It's really a task, and they keep on asking you different questions every year. So it's, you know, what you want to make sure you do is you keep a file of the questions, how you answer them, and make sure you know that you need to have how much you have and how much your son or daughter has. And it's not hard, it's just tedious.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes interpretation of the questions are sometimes hard to understand. But if you go to one of these workshops, you should be going to one of these workshops. And those are free.
Yeah, and they're going to help you fill it out. You may uncover some money that you didn't know was out there. There's a lot of money that is available here at the Michigan State level.
Yep. Okay, here we go. Retirement myths. First thing people say is, you can put off savings until you're middle-aged.
Well, you can.
You know, that's a retirement myth. But a lot of people have no budget to put money into their accounts. But I tell people, you know, some people don't want to take the risk as well. But I tell people, if you get the match, there's somebody willing to give you, if you put in 3% and they put in 3%, that is like a savings account for you. So that's 100% on your money. So if you put in $10, they're going to put in $10. If you put in $100, they're going to put in $100. And that's dollar for dollar up to 3% of your gross, which is, or some people put in more. And then, you know, if you do need the money, you can, you know, get a special, you know, and I don't encourage this, but if people really do need the money, they can take it out, pay tax, and say they're in the 15% tax bracket, which takes them to the 25% tax bracket. Take the money out, and you're still ahead because you've matched.
Yeah.
I don't encourage anybody to do that, but those are the logical numbers that why would you not get the match? Because you can't afford it.
Exactly. And here's a good example, you know, about saving early or starting later. And that's just the example is around two people, Jill and Edwin. They save the same amount of money in their firm's retirement plan, $250 a month for 20 years, a total of $60,000, and they earn the same rate at 8%. The only difference is that she began investing at age 36, and Edwin waited till he was 46, so there's a 10-year difference. At age 65, Jill had accumulated $329,000, while Edwin's balance was $148,000. That's a significant advantage, 10 years.
No, real significant. You know, and if we go to the last page of a document that we also take a look at, Carrie, this is one that we like to show in our women's workshop. This is Susan starting at age 19, and this came from a book, Smart Woman, Finish Rich. It's in the book there. So this is averaging 10%, a little bit higher return, which is, you know, 10% is a high rate. But if you look back for the lifetime of some of these funds, it's 10%. So here we go. Susan started at 19, and she put $4,000 away, 19 through 27, then went to stay home. Okay? So she put in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, not 10 years. 10 years. No, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You need a calculator?
9 years. Well, no, 9 years. So 9 years. So she put in $36,000.
Yeah.
$36,000 she put in. And by the time that she retired at 65, she had $2.2 million. It's a lot of money.
So $36,000, $2.2 million.
Yep. Kim, who starts putting $4,000 in at age 27, $4,000, she puts in $4,000 for the rest of her life. Up until 65, she's only accumulated $1.7 million because of the doubling of money. So
you want to know how much Kim saved? $112,000 of her own money.
Yeah.
So she saved three times more.
And yep. And they have $368,000 less. That's a lot. I mean, it really does. I mean, the compounding of money over time, compounding means, you know, we always like to talk about the rule of 72. So if you are able to make 10% over your life, it should double 7.2 every 7.2 years.
Yep. So the action, the takeaway here, you need to start early. And right now, if you're not saving at all, no matter what age, you need to start saving today. You know, contribute to your company's retirement plan if they have a match. Put money into Roth. You need to start doing something.
Yep. So that is, you know, so that myth is put off savings until later. You know, but then it goes to myth number two. If you start late, you're doomed. Well, not really. If you still think you're going to put the same amount in when you start late, that's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Well, it really doesn't. I mean, it's the consistency throughout your lives. And the number that I try to give people is if you can save 16% of your gross, 16% of your gross, that's kind of the number, you know, people say, how much should you save? 16%. Well, sometimes that's a lot of money. But, you know, you think of a couple, you know, they're making $100,000, 16% is $8,000 apiece. Well, that is a lot of money, but it really isn't. If you think about if you can do that for the rest of your life, and some people do, they have a lot of money at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But people ask, you know, like they said, well, how much do I need? Well, you need to save 16% of your gross. That's kind of the number.
Yep.
You have to work that into your budget.
Right. And here's a good story. You know, there's an example here of a person named Len who started investing at age 50. So he started late. He put the pedal down, started saving a ton of money, maximizing his retirement plans and with his catch-up contributions, because now if you're over age 50, that's $17,500. You can do another $5,000 on top of that. So by the age 67, Len had $926,000 in his account, assuming he made 8%.
Over 17 years, big number.
Yeah.
Big number. And, you know, that's a lot of money, almost $1 million he saved in 17 years. But, you know, it's one of those where if you get the compounding, you understand that, that's what you got to do. So, hey, we're going to take a break, and you're listening to WHTC Money Matters.
This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey will be right back.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is your host, Kerry Cooley.
Retirement myths, and we'll go to health, wealth, and women, the power of a plan.
Our ninth annual women's workshop is coming up on March 6th. We will have dinner, refreshments, and several speakers. Jack and I will be speaking on the importance of having a financial plan. We're going to have Mary Jo Borman there talking about the importance of trust and estate planning. We're going to have Stacy Kampheis from the Insurance Group talking about health care. And our special guest speaker is going to be Lisa Kozier, and she is going to help us with techniques to freshen up your food routine and avoid boredom, and plus improve your choices for meals by doing one small thing different each day. So she has been on the Fox Morning Show 17 News here locally, and she's a wonderful speaker, so we're looking forward to having her on board. So if you want to make reservations, Jack, what do?
616-931-1223, extension 4. You can call that today or tomorrow or Monday. And we might even have Chris Allen there signing autographs. So, yes, he might be there signing autographs. So if you like that, you know, make that request, and we'll get his autograph with a picture.
Well, we need to get a nice black and white that he can
glossy,
sign.
Yes.
Yeah, glossy.
Yeah. We'll
you're assuming I don't already have one of those.
Oh, no.
Headshots,
no,
perfect.
We just want to make sure that we get those ordered ahead of time. You know, there might be a sellout.
We're talking today about retirement myths, and we talked about saving early, saving late, never too late to start, action steps. How about this one? You can live on Social Security benefits alone.
Well, I think that might be a myth today. However, if you look over the long term in today's world, because you want to go back and say, Jack, could you live on this today? No, I can't. Or I choose not to. Could I? Yes. With no debt, you could live on Social Security. But if you're going to have some type of retirement, you cannot live on Social Security today.
Yeah, because right now, Social Security replaces on average 40% of a retiree's pre-retirement income. So that's from Social Security Administration. Now, making up the other 60% is the responsibility of the individual, the couple.
Yeah, which gets us, you know, to the next one. So they're kind of mixed together in terms of, will you spend less money in retirement out of the gate? First 10 years, probably not, because you're going to do more stuff. So I try to get into people's mind is you need to be able to give yourself raises throughout your retirement years. So let's talk about Social Security at 62. Then 62, I try to convince people, let's take it at 66, give yourself a raise. Let's see if you don't need to take Social Security at 62. Wait till 66, take it then. And then maybe your spouse takes it at 70, so you get another raise at 70. Take your retirement at 62, take hers at 66, her Social Security, and take your Social Security at 70. So out of the gate, you think of, I'm going to get a raise in 4 years. I'm going to get another raise in 4 years. If you think like that, you have a plan. But if you think that you're just going to live on Social Security, that's not a plan. And if you think that you shouldn't have 60% saved beyond Social Security, that's wrong. You need to have a plan. So, you know, everybody's unique. I mean, some people I say, you know, you're going to probably eat peanut butter and jelly in 15 years if you don't have a plan, because you then could live on Social Security. But it's all about your debt. It's about your budget. We talk about this all the time. But we have these questions every week, the same questions that we try to convince people to have a plan. And we do financial plans. It's very sophisticated financial plans.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, if people are wondering what their Social Security potential benefits are in the future, they should go to ssa.gov. and use the calculator to estimate their benefits. Because, and the other thing is, by signing on to SSA.gov and you go through the proper enrollment and get your own sign-on, you can actually find out your number, your numbers of what has been entered as far as income in the past years. You want to make sure that that matches with what your W-2s are and what's on your tax returns, because it has been known that you can have mistakes. The other thing is you can find out and do, you know, we can take this number once we have it and put it into the financial plan, and we can say, okay, here's what you're getting from Social Security, and what's the best approach to this? As Jack mentioned, do we have one person apply for Social Security, suspend it, and have the spouse take half of that other person? So there's strategies behind this so that you can plan on getting raises in the future and helping keep up with inflation.
Yeah, I had a financial plan come in on Friday, Carrie. They faxed it to me, and they plan on spending in retirement $80,000. So if that's what you're going to spend and you're at a blended tax rate of, say, 20, that means you need to be able to have $100,000 at your disposal to be able to live, to be able to spend 80. So then you got to back into, okay, do they have 2 million? They're not close to 65. Do they have 2 million? Because 5% of 2 million is 100,000, because they can't take Social Security yet. So, you know, that's just an interesting one that came in. So I'm meeting with them on Tuesday night, but, you know, I think they have over a million, but do they have 2 million out of the gate? Or are they going to spend down really rapidly the first couple years? So it's extrapolating. You know, if you take a look at sequence of returns when you're retired, if you had the last 5 years and you retired 3 or 4 years ago, you're in hog heaven with the returns that we've had. But if you extrapolate those back to if you retired in 05 and you had 06, 07, 08, 09, you could be in trouble today, even though we had 5 good years.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take a look at bad years and good years and say, what if this, what if that, what if something happens here? You need to take a look at that. And a lot of people, most people don't. They really don't.
No, they don't. They don't. Hey, some fun little tidbits here on, you know, retirement myths and stuff. Do you know when the first Social Security check benefits were paid? What year?
My grandpa was the first year, and that would be 1937.
Wow. So your grandpa was in the first year.
That's in the first year. He had a sale, and he maxed out his Social Security. So he took it the very first year after he had his sale, and he got the largest check you could get for Social Security.
Cool.
Unbelievable.
Cool. Well, and then in 1975, the year the first Social Security cost of living allowance were paid was in that year. So that's when they started adjusting for cost of living. What's the average? Well, you can probably cheat by looking at this, but I'd say how close he gets, listeners. Okay, the average monthly Social Security benefit paid to retirees in June of 2013. What's the average?
I'm going to say $1,700.
Not bad. Pretty close.
$1,200. I did look.
$1,269.
That's way off. That's 33% off. That's not good. Hey, next week's show, we're getting close to the end of our show here. Next week's show is divorce strategies to make the process easier. We have Mary Jo Borman in our office, and we talk strategies a lot for those people who are entering the phase of QDROs in divorce. We also spend a lot of time on helping people create you know, financial plans after they do get a divorce. We also have, you know, a great group together when we talk about what should be done in a prenup once you're going to marriage number two. So, you know, lots of things that we can talk about next week, and that's divorce strategies to make the process easier.
And listeners, just one more, you know, quick announcement on letting people know our 9th annual women's workshop, Health, Wealth, Women, the Power of a Plan. And that's going to be held March 6th, so please call our office. So that to make reservations, the number is 931-1223, 931-1223, extension 4. That's going to be a great evening call to make your reservations because it does get sold out.
So you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Jack Godfrey.
And Carrie Cooley. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Money. You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Jack Godfrey and Kerry Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zealand. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Be sure to join us next Saturday at the same time for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.